You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's banking and capital markets tax practice. Today, I'm joined by a principal from KPMG's global rewards tax practice, Ryan McDonald. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you, Liz. Pleasure to talk to you as always.
So today, we want to talk through health and welfare benefits. For KPMG, health and welfare benefits is part of our compensation and benefits practice, which Ryan McDonald runs as part of our global rewards. And it's interesting because not everyone thinks immediately of tax when we think of health and welfare benefits. But I do want to talk through some trends we're seeing in cost cutting, and we can talk about how that impacts the tax department. But Ryan, why don't we start with just the basics? Health and welfare benefits. Can you give us a better description, explanation of that? I think of health insurance as one of them, but I'm sure there's more.
Sure, absolutely. And you likely think of health insurance as it's by far the most costly element of a health and welfare program. But health and welfare is more broad in that it's essentially all of the benefits that are offered to an employee population. So health insurance is critical, but there's other benefits such as, you know, dental and vision and life and disability, as well as a lot of ancillary benefits that can target, you know, that connection between work and lifestyle.
So, Ryan, typically we think of health and welfare benefits being a HR department issue, but we also see that it impacts our tax department. So can you just give us a little bit more perspective on why this is a conversation for a banking tax podcast and not just human resources?
Sure. That's a great place to start and a question we get asked all the time. So we actually sit underneath the tax function at KPMG, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But one is there's a lot of synergies between the consulting side and the tax side. And one example that has come up quite a bit recently is organizations are getting approached by vendors in the market that have recommended they restructure their benefits program for tax savings. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of intricacies and considerations from a tax perspective on these. But in short, you know, we're not going to discuss the merits of those strategies here. In short, our viewpoint is there's a lot of better ways to target a benefit spend. Benefit spends are very expensive, but there are a lot of strategies in place that I would love to discuss without having to go down the path of, you know, restructuring a benefits program for tax savings. As you can imagine, that comes under a lot of scrutiny. But to answer your other question, there are two really primary areas where we interact with our tax colleagues. The first is on insurance company captives. So organizations, mid-size and large organizations, thinking about ways to better finance their insurance programs, often put benefits into a captive. They often start with property and casualty, but then look to reevaluate if benefits, stop loss, voluntary benefits, and other ERISA make sense to put into their captive.
And by captive, you mean it's an actual insurance company, but it is owned by the banking organization and hence captive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how an organization can take on more of the risk. So they're not relying on the external insurance market as it is a captive that the company has set up internally. And the second area that we really collaborate with our benefits tax colleagues quite a bit on is on global benefits. So a multinational organization that is looking to enhance their a global benefit, such as, you know, lifestyle type benefit or behavioral health or fertility, typically needs support on a local level to understand the country implications of offering this. So both a payroll and tax at the local level is one area. But then as organizations look to, you know, rethink about their global strategy, whether it puts their global benefits into a captive and setting up that global captive for different risk, there's, of course, tax implications there as well. So we do interact and collaborate with our benefits tax colleagues quite a bit.
That makes sense. Banking organizations are always looking for cost reductions, savings. So from a health and welfare benefit, can you talk to us about where are you finding the areas of cost takeout?
Sure. Love this question. It really depends on where an organization is on their strategic roadmap. you know, we come across organizations that are leading edge, and we come across organizations that, you know, could use a shift down that strategic path a few notches. But the first point I always like to make clear is that we never, ever look to cut employee benefits. You know, we don't touch plan design unless we're asked to. We don't focus on employee contributions. For us, that's not necessarily strategic. It's cost shifting. So some of the areas that we look at fall into three primary buckets. The first being plan funding. So we mentioned captives already. That is a significant area of focus for mid and large organizations, but that doesn't necessarily only have to apply to, you know, your very large, even small organizations, startups, rapid growth, or inbounds that are relying on the insurance market can look to self-fund the program, for instance. One example that just happened a few months ago is we helped a banking client that had about 250 employees reduce their plan expense by $1.5 million just from changing their funding and implementing more strategic vendors. Which brings us to our second point, is the vendor landscape. Billions are being invested every single year on solving the U.S. healthcare challenge, and clearly no one's been successful in that area yet. There are vendors that are doing a job focusing on a specific aspect of the insurance market, and they've been very successful in cost sustainability on a go-forward basis. The days of everything under one umbrella are really being reevaluated, because it's very hard for an organization to do everything well. So we highly recommend organizations constantly take a look at the vendor landscape to see if there's an additional solution that could be supportive to their population. And then the third piece is on contracting. So unfortunately, the benefits and insurance landscapes do have conflicts of interest. And we always recommend it a thorough review of the vendors that you work with to ensure that everyone has mutually aligned goals and interest. And it sounds obvious, but unfortunately, that's not always the case. It's critical, because there's enough challenges in place that you need everyone rowing in the same direction. And one of the best examples of this is on pharmacy benefits. So those of us in the benefits consulting world often call pharmacy the black box of contracting, because there's a lot of vague provisions. And pharmacy is coming under a lot of scrutiny now at the federal level. There's an FTC report that came out in July. There's federal legislation being put into place. There's state legislation, you know, can go on and on. But what's really troubling for plan sponsors is we're starting to see the first fiduciary lawsuits in 2024, where programs are being sued for failing to uphold their fiduciary responsibility of offering a cost-competitive plan, which is obviously scary for organizations. But what's really the main point is that the vendors aren't included in being a plaintiff for these lawsuits. It's only the plan sponsor. So I said a lot there. Any questions?
Yeah, well, certainly any lawsuit sounds like scary stuff. But I want to talk about two things. One is just practical ideas for how someone, what should a bank do to start taking a look at this and trying to see if there's any savings that they can find?
Yeah, that's a great question. The starting point is sometimes the most difficult to know where you should begin this path, and really recommend just getting a third party objective opinion. You know, that's what law firms are recommending from, you know, as a follow-up to these lawsuits, is just to get someone that doesn't have a vested interest in your program to really analyze the data, analyze the contracts, identify any conflicts of interest, and ensure that, you know, the programs that are in place are being effective to solve the needs of your population. And when we've been pulled into, you know, those, we like to call them diagnostics. When we get pulled into those diagnostics, you can imagine the outcomes vary quite a bit in terms of, you know, where an organization is and what we find. But typically the outcome is there's going to be some savings opportunity of anywhere between, you know, 5 to 10% based on where an organization wants to go.
So the diagnostics, or health check for your health and welfare, if you will. That seems like a really good idea and an easy way to do a feasibility or sort of benchmark where potential savings might be. So that makes sense to have the third-party reviewer. And I guess the benefit of that is the potential for cost savings, but also some comfort to the bank and employer that their funds could withstand any scrutiny.
Yes, absolutely. And the reviews that, you know, we've seen come in a variety of different forms. One is just a gap assessment, really targeting, you know, cost outcomes to make sure that the plan is efficient and targeting their high cost spends. But then on the opposite side of the spectrum is a full data review from a claims basis as well as contract. And, you know, if you're going down that further path of really assessing, you know, your contracts, your data, your claims, the main goal of that is both the cost, which, you know, we've hit on a few times here and those other strategy opportunities, but also the comfort that a third party without a vested interest has reviewed and identified areas of opportunity for you to either clean up or continue doing as you will. So that third party stamp of approval or in most cases, you know, identifying a few areas is really where the value comes from through an organization of hiring a third party.
And I assume that you and KPMG is one of these third party reviewers.
Yes, one of the reasons that organizations look to KPMG is not only for, you know, our brand and our strong, you know, financial acumen in the marketplace, but we do have a very large healthcare advisory practice, as well as a benefits consulting practice, which is my area. So we can really support an organization throughout their needs, whether it's, you know, that initial gap assessment, which I mentioned, or a very deep dive into their claims data. We do have the healthcare expertise to meet an organization where they are.
That sounds great. And one final question. I know you said it's not all about the cost savings, but lots of times the cost savings can certainly drive attention to this. So in your example earlier, you mentioned a bank with about 250 employees, which I think of as a pretty small bank, and yet you found savings of over $1 million. So does that extrapolate out to a really large organization as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it goes back to really understanding where the organization is today. They have hopefully already achieved the low-hanging fruit, which is, you know, self-funding the program, but then you can still reduce several percentage points from, you know, the vendor strategies and contracting that I recommended. One additional example that we just closed out a few weeks ago was reducing a plan's pharmacy expense by approximately 30%. And that was through a contract review and a pharmacy RFP. So even larger organizations still have a lot of opportunity to reassess.
Yeah, 30% sounds like a really good savings to what I assume is a really significant cost line for a bank employer. Ryan, thanks for talking us through this topic today. That was really interesting insight. Always love to hear about cost savings and ways to reduce risk for an organization. Of course, also always like to see the interplay between HR and benefits and tax. And to our audience, thank you for joining us today. This is Liz Lamadue on behalf of KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.